So that's where we've reached. That's what we've got up to. And it occurs to me that it would be good to look in a bit more detail at one word in this sutra, because it comes up rather a lot. Perception. The Sanskrit is sangnya. It's mentioned a lot throughout the Diamond Sutra, or rather, its opposite is mentioned a lot. No perception. Sangnya. Before we can understand no perception, we need to understand perception. Perception, sangnya, is explored in great detail throughout the Buddhist tradition. In the earliest days of Buddhism, in the Pali texts, you find the Buddha talking a lot about sangnya, and it's really taken up and explored and subjected to considerable penetrating psychological analysis in Abhidharma literature, the literature which analyzes the earliest Buddhist teachings. And it's an intensely practical discussion. It does get a little bit scholastic in some Abhidharma literature, a little bit, like how many angels you can get on top of a pin, that sort of discussion that can happen in the Abhidharma. But actually, the best and motivation is intensely practical. There's a concern to break down one's subjection to objects. There's a concern to, the concern is soteriological, it's to do with liberation. Concern to, in looking at sangnya and other aspects of the psychophysical organism, to break down limitation, restriction, and habitual activity, imprisonment. Sangnya is usually translated as perception, and we find it, probably most of you are most familiar with it, as one of the five skandhas, the five heaps, that is the early Buddhist analysis of the psychophysical organism. I won't go into all those, you can look those up, they're very familiar. In the Abhidharma tradition, they have a different analysis. They look instead at the five omnipresent mental events, the mental events that are present in all experiences, from the mundane to the formless meditation realms. But they are, of course, pre-enlightenment. So one of the five omnipresent mental events. Again, I'm not going to go into that in detail. But these two analyses, of course, are showing the dynamic, composite nature of experience. And that's very helpful in understanding the mind. These are, sangnya in this sense is one of the dharmas that we've been talking about, one of the things, one of the constituents that you can break down the notion of a fixed self with, one of the ideas, in a way, to break down the notion of a fixed self. They're also extremely helpful in understanding the mind, the omnipresence. So it's doing two things. It's for self-understanding and also to break down that notion of some fixed entity. You see that you're made up of all these dynamic processes, a flow, rather than you're just one thing. Now, I don't want to hear look at the skandhas or the omnipresence. I really would recommend reading up, particularly Know Your Mind, Sangharakshita's book on mind and Buddhist psychology, well worth looking into. Well, there's a very interesting discussion indeed. I want to just look at sangnya more broadly, because in the Diamond Sutra, perception, non-perception are key terms. And it's almost as if, it seems to me, that it's just seeing ourselves in terms of perception. When it says perception and no perception, in a way it's just talking about us. It's almost saying, well, the real issue, the key issue, is perception. It's a basic function, even in some ways a basic problem. So how we perceive is the thing to look at. You get actually a similar thing going on in early Buddhist texts, in Pali texts. There's a real focus on sangnya, on perception, and related terms, as if that is the area to pay attention to. That is the problem, if you like, perception, especially mistaken perception. My presentation is going to be very impressionistic indeed. It's going to be a real simplification of a great deal of complex material. I'm trying to get to the heart, the spirit of the matter, what we can use, what's relevant, and of course how it relates to the Diamond Sutra.